I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I should probably put this thing inside. It's warm, but there's a wind. Warmer. Well, let me put this in here. Car temperature gauge set to 43. Not that we trust that temperature gauge, but it's not too far off. It does say one thing. It's quite warm. And there's a north wind blowing, which is odd. Usually a north wind is a harbinger. Things coming. I think somebody said that maybe it might snow on Sunday. We don't often get seasons here. We get alternating times of hot and cold. You know, I've explained this a lot. In the past, you know, we have the wild 40, 50, 60 daily. And that's pretty cool. When it gets up that high, you know, a 40 degree temperature swing will only get you down into the high 70s or, you know, something like that. And that's when it gets a little rough, is at night when you can't really get things to cool off. But for most of the year, this isn't a bad place to live. It doesn't get too hot. It doesn't get too terribly cold. But yeah, like I said, you have days plucked out of every season. You know, there are days in January when it gets into the 70s for highs. You know, you still get down to the 20s and the 30s for a low. That's fine. You know, which is perfectly seasonable. Let's see. Well, you know, so it depends on the day. We've had some nice days here. You know, temperatures in the 60s. For highs, high 30s for the lows, which is quite nice. Today is even warmer, so who knows, it might get up into the 70s today. But that doesn't mean 2 days from now we won't get a winter blast, and which I think it's kind of predictive, and we won't get above 30. We have nothing here, water. Water is the biggest moderator of temperature. We don't have any of that, so we get the wild temperature. You know. The desert area, we're not quite ready. Worse for it. springs even more wildly. Anyway, so there's that kind of thing. Found out yesterday, research on that job put off the decision. It was going to make a decision this week. And basically decided not to. Some corners say it was a Mormon church. But told them you have better control. You have better, you know, you better pull together all the information that you need. And you go, the number of people who proclaim Dana that one of you voice gap, I think it's been minuscule. There's a whole lot of, you know, they might be throwing out the baby with the bathwater sort of situation, you know, to appease a small yet militantly vocal group, you know, to destroy yourself. And it really becomes, I don't know what it becomes close to. Scouts have always tried to be something of a moral compass, and it fits these things into an outdoor camping setting. You know, there's always I always thought of it. I think Baden Powell, if he was here, would be same mind about what the mindset is supposed to be, which is, you know, the building of boys and men was at the heart of it, and the methodology was through outdoor camping and stuff like that. Who that must be. Well, this effort is to say, well, maybe what campus do. And you go, it isn't about the camping. The camping is the center. The moral stuff is the center. You got to decide what that is. And you've heard from everybody all around that says, you know, what Boy Scouts is a symbol. And, you know, I'm sorry. I think gays spend the majority of their time trying to gain respectability. I've talked ad nauseum about it, but hopefully not going to run into that again. But that these guys are, and that they're willing to eviscerate any symbol at all. In order to have their aberrant behavior be not just accepted, I think it's embraced. To be embraced. You know. And, because every once in a while they'll take a nice running start at religion, find it unassailable at that time, but then they find other organizations, other pillars of the community that they can assail, and that will finally bow to political pressure. Scouts resist the current effort. And I think I've said it before. said, I would rather see scouting. I'd rather see scouting. Make a clean break. Whatever's needed to keep, keep the reputation of scouting untarnished, I think is important. That, you know, and I would be the first one to say, well, how are you going to change the scout law? How are you going to change the scout oath to make that work? How much is going to be taken out? God's got to go. I said, all those things have to go. You know. The new moral ethic is, everything has to be fair. Whatever deviancy somebody thinks up has to be treated with the utmost respect. I would understand it personally, in that if you want something that can't be assailed, if you want to be able to worship the way you please, which already exists, you know, just understand why Janus didn't declare itself a religion, and the only justification I can come up with for why that wasn't what was chosen as the way is that the larger effort isn't to be, you know, isn't for gays to be able to behave themselves as they please, even though that's always what's going on. Oh, well, you know, you can do this, but we can't do that. It is, at its heart, the destruction of society. It is the destruction of God. Not that God's going to be destroying us, trust me. God's existence does not depend on people appearing to him. Although many people can say that. Oh, the concept of God still exists because people believe in it. This is the day people stop believing in it. It's the day that God will be good and dead and buried, and we don't have to worry about that anymore, and all the funny things that he ever tried to instigate in people. We can finally just say, well, get ready for that. I did something about atheists without saying, hey, you need to at least talk up to God for him. Because it's really the only thing that protects anything from you. You know. There has to be some laws that are unbreakable, immutable, and and I'm sorry, I don't see it as a big, difficult thing to do. You know, I was just listening to an Econ Talk episode with this guy that talked about why we should just accept the fact that we don't follow the Constitution anymore. He was really interesting because he said, I'm not against the Constitution. I said, I'm just saying that sometimes it's good for us not to follow it. And I guess his basic idea was that no law should be immutable. You know, he was the one always crowing about 250-year-old laws, and that 250-year-old laws are outdated, and that we shouldn't feel beholden to following it, and that the founders got it wrong. And you know, they may have gotten it wrong in the mechanics of it. I said, but you know what? I think children can come up with a decent list of what laws should be immutable and why they should be. Now, these things are changing now. I think the biggest change is that you shouldn't offend anyone. You know, you shouldn't stay out of people's faces. And they'll say, no, I don't want that. And I'm sorry. I am a firm believer in the immutable laws, especially ones that come from God. As I look at them, as I see them tested, let me tell you, there's no more wonderful trial of God's laws in modern times, when so many people don't keep God's laws, and we see problems all around us. You know, we see shattered lives. And you can almost always bring it back to, well, at what point did they break the law of God? You know, pretty easy. It was pretty early in their development. And they never straightened out their course and decided to go another way. And, you know, so that's... That was their choice. Kind of like me, look what I do, you know. I get upset sometimes, and I sometimes blame it on. In fact, I don't feel like I have choice. And you go, no, Jay, you always have choice. You know, this is you, in choosing, hopefully, a better course, or choosing to follow God, or trying to do what God wants you to do. Yes, you have put yourself in a straight narrow path, and as you bump up against, you know, the sides of that straight narrow path, it is confined. You know, and I struggle with the fact that, you know, I don't feel good about that, you know. I wanna change my scars, not that it matters. You know, all of my troubles will stay with me. Probably inherit some new troubles. Every justification I give for changing such things. I just have to hope that God is stopping me from doing these things. You know, I know He considers my soul. I'm not thinking about it. So we're just going to have to see it happen. Anyway, so that's kind of the thought process for today. Was about, I think I've talked about before, the immutable laws. You have to be careful. You know, I think Gaze was going to get it in a short clip. You know, their great clarion call is fairness. I need to be treated well. Now, it's gone beyond that. You know, I understand this garbage about marriage. And you go, no law exists that prevents you from exercising your sexuality. as you see fit. Because I understand why you need to be able to get married to somebody. You know. But, you know, you cast that on everybody who needs to cast. Guy, the President of the United States, and you're going, and everybody says, well, he's a Christian. Oh, no, he's not. Because how can he be a Christian and think along these lines? Because I'm sorry. If he ever was really a Christian, and who knows what the definition of that is, he's a heretic. By Christianity's own definition of it, I think. You know. Double entendre, so sexual double entendre coming, he's getting in bed with the gays for political gain. And, you know, he's like, hey, this is, he's a typical guy. He has no real morals. You know. It's just about what makes him look good for the moment, what looks good for the day. If you know, if he changed his mind, you know, he didn't change his mind. He stuck his finger, you know, he wet his finger and he stuck it up in the air and he saw how the wind was blowing and he decided to go with how the wind was blowing. So what most people have come back and said is, you know, that's okay. And I, for one, say it's not okay. That is the case of a low person. I have no respect for it. So that's, I can't have any respect for it. It's because you've revealed yourself as a low person. I'm sorry. I don't care how eloquently you put it. This is, you don't really have a moral for it. I don't care if you go to some quasi-Christian church to go and worship. This is the basic tenet of it. You walk away, you have to understand. By nature, gay is fornicating. Now you have to understand my difference. There's those who have... There are those that seem attracted to members of their own gender, and then there's gays. To my definition, you become gay when you engage in sex with somebody of your own gender. But you know what? Because that doesn't even rise to the level of fornication. Fornication is having sex with somebody that you're not married to. Now, I don't know if, you know, to engage in sex with somebody, you know, in sodomy is already declared an abomination. The fact that you're technically, legally married to that person. Doesn't cancel out sodomy. So, you know, I don't really comprehend even the desire or interest in gay marriage. It's just totally, I don't get it. Another problem. And they're just in there. This is fun, man. And I pray every night. And more and more I struggle with it. I don't know what's there. Is it vindictive? Something like this. I just want to throw it all in. So you know what? Just leave me alone. And I know that those aren't the right answers. That's not the right way to think of that. And it comes back to being patient. You know, I have received revelation on this. At least two, you know, something on this subject. And, I need to try to be serene about it. Or I'm not a serene person. I find interesting is, I've always considered myself somewhat lazy, and I find that my laziness is beyond perhaps other people putting forth great effort. I don't think it's a relevant thing. But I'm probably hard on myself. And that's how Satan gets me. Is my impatience of being hard on myself. You know, so in order to protect myself, I need to be more patient with myself. And for delegation and for teamwork. I know that part of that is because I just couldn't do it myself, knowing that most other people aren't going to really do the same. Which is true. Other people do stuff. Every day. So, you know, you get let down. I say sometimes, but that's probably not good enough. You get let down a lot. And, you know, there's only so much one person can do, no matter how good they are. And in that doing, you know, you don't get that multiplication of effort. I guess it goes back to being of one heart and one mind on things. And what that's supposed to translate into. And, I don't know. We all tend to compartmentalize our jobs a little bit. And we don't really shouldn't do that so much. It's not, you'll get more accomplished if everybody's finding some way to do something. So, I might not be recording as much. I find myself picking myself up sometimes in these recordings. One of my other great friends overthinking stuff. Worrying too much about things I don't need to be worried about. Like, say, for instance, having to change my staff at work, and I'm hourly now instead of salary. And that's a new wrinkle and a bit of a headache. I find myself having to manufacture stuff. When I was on a salary, it didn't matter, you know. I was paid for the job that I do, and if it took 3 hours or if it took 100 hours, it didn't matter, you know. You did whatever was required to get the job done. And I find that with this hourly stuff, I'm having to spend more time, it's annoying to me, adjusting, you know. If I'm gone for 11 or 12 hours, I've got to adjust. I've got to shuffle things around to make it work. I've always been very blessed, and I have to acknowledge that. You know, there's been some really hard times. The last couple of weeks have been pretty intense. But, you know, half made really intense by my effort at it. I was able to shuffle a few things, and that's really kind of, and that's really saved a lot of garbage. It seems like it comes in spurts, you know, it isn't a steady stream of stuff, you know, it's just pretty, and then it's really, you know, there's a whole week to go by that nothing's really going on, and, God takes care of me, and I always have to, and, you know, when I get gruff, things aren't going the way I think they should, I always have to remember. She's really nice to me. She's really been nice to me all this time. And, I don't know if some miracle is in store for me later on. It's hard. I do think I've been spending too much time looking at my patriarchal blessing and trying to understand what it's trying to say to me. You know, and then I should just, you know, these things will come. These are promised blessings. If you're worthy, and you shall, you know, yourself. I think my biggest part in it is practically to be worthy. Sometimes I might just be taking it out. Well, I know that's what Shepard was. It was just one big star system. And I said that from the beginning. You know, I said, I don't know if it's, you know, I can't tell the difference between the spirit and, you know, other things. So, do things you're supposed to do, you know, stay away from bad things, engage in good positive things, and things will work. The things that you can promise will be the past. So trust me. It's like affirmations, I suppose, you know. If you leave enough things open for blessings to come, it's kind of like, I think, it's kind of like putting my stuff up on the Kindle store, you know. there's a whole bunch of, it gives the opportunity for a funding, you always leave a funding stream open, even if it doesn't generate, last year it generated from $10.18, it has to be perfect, it says how much I got, and, that leaves an opening, you know, that something could happen with that. God can bless you. And, I don't look myself pretty often. I see my finger in turns, you know, and I say, well, he's not doing it. Shut with me, say, dead. And you go, no. He said, I do not shut me. And this week, he's coming up. There's more coming for us. Checking on turns. I find that when I do a post, it's a killer, you know. Although, sometimes I attach myself to old posts, I'm not a person to jump in at the beginning. I'm not so much an instigator or something else. I don't know if I scare people. I think it was my friend who was killed, I don't know, 3.5, 2 years ago, in a biking accident. I don't feel badly, but my biking back and forth from work enticed him to start maybe again, I don't know. But he started biking back and forth to work too. He became a real exercise cat over time. Not because of me. And he takes it, you know, he used to run those 100-mile up in the mountains runs. You know, Iron Men die from those things, so. He got hit by a car while biking. And, it was just an accident, you know. It was just life. Things happen. And, but it was something that I had been doing, and somebody else caught hold of and said, hey, that sounds good. I'm going to do that too. But affirmations become, you know, as long as you don't close yourself off to possibilities, it gives the world a greater ability. Or gives God, you know, it gives God a greater ability to act. You know, I want to give him as many openings as possible. You know, I figure the more openings that I provide through righteousness, through doing things and putting them out there, it provides openings for him to be able to bless you, for him to be able to prosper you. And, I'm doing that one more. As I'm doing these walks in the morning now, instead of biking back and forth to work, which, frankly, number one, it was rough. I did it for like 5 years. I found myself burning to the pan quickly. I was wearing out pants too much. I could have got a different seat, but if that wasn't so, it didn't wear out too fast. Anyway, so this is my replacement for that. It was good, though. But frankly, it was true of the other things. When I would get home from work, I was supremely grumpy. The effort was just making me a mess. And, anyway. Nothing else, little by little, I've been changing some ways, some things that I do, some ways that I behave in life, for the better. Process to continue, you know, just improve and improve and improve up to the perfect day, whatever that is, probably, you know, a couple thousand years from now, it's not longer. So, if I do a certain degree, I'm doing a bit of enduring to the end type stuff. But I think it's easier to endure if you're doing more than just enduring, you know. So, I still want to continue, finish up the family of 70 thing. Including the part with Shetland in it. Throw that out there. See what that does at all. I'm going to interject a little Janus into it. You know? I used to be more playful. And I need to get that back. That playfulness. I think it's more useful, you know, I don't think it's a question of being smart. Working smarter has been harder. I don't think it's a question of that. I think it's you know, you look at these guys to find their niche, and it's almost effortless. Almost, and, you know, just, oh no, it's not. I work really hard at this, and you go, you know what? I've seen worse. Not that I want to denigrate what you do and how you do it. It's amazing. But to equate that with work, per se, isn't, you know, maybe you do, maybe, but probably you don't. I've always been amazed by people who are just better at something. And that when you see somebody that's just better at something, how it just washes all of the thing about, oh yeah, hard work and effort, dedication is what wins the day. And you go, but usually it's just raw talent, you know, inborn. You know, there are runners, and I've known them, just excellent runners, and they don't, you know, they don't do anything special. It's not like they have this amazing regimen. It isn't like all they do is eat eggs and, you know, power drinks all day long. You know, run constantly. Constantly thinking about how their feet are placed and stuff like that. And I'm not trying to denigrate people who really study it and are really straight about it, but let me tell you, as far as I've seen, those people with innate talent will blow your socks off every time. And it flies right in the face of what's supposed to be the big thing to accomplish. And I think it has to do with kind of the way society is. And that whole concept of fairness. I guess I'll start out with that. Things aren't fair. Things aren't fair, and thank goodness they're not fair. We aren't all born with the same stuff. We're all different people. We have different combinations. Some of us have amazing, amazing talents for speaking or writing or athletic or, you know, any number of things. And that one can't just sit there and say, oh, well, I can make it fair by their dedication to it. You know, they work really hard. Put in lots and lots of time. You know, I don't want to integrate that aspect of being able to be successful at something. But, you know, I never also want to disagree on the fact that there are going to be some natural, you know, people who are so amazing at it, and it just seems to come out of nowhere. Sometimes with no real effort at all, or compared to others, very little effort. You know, that's everybody's got talent. I mean, God talks about it, if you think. And that happiness and joy and fulfillment are much more likely to come from from finding and developing talent. And I don't want to denigrate on, you know, like, I occasionally think I'm talent, you know, and it's one of the things that I kind of say, well, you know, because I don't. Child development is a basic understanding of something. The fact that it gets turned into, oh my goodness, am I that right? The fact that it turns into some sort of a program, a mantra, a way of being. You know, I always considered it kind of, well, not always, but I lately considered it kind of long, you know. A factory process. You put somebody, you know, you put a child through a child development factory process, and you will have this predictable product out the other end, you know, whether it's a fully functioning adult, somebody who's, quote, ready, unquote, for school. I don't even comprehend that guy. because it implies that school is an end unto itself, you know. The successful life is achieved at 18, having a 4.0 grade point out, you know. And that schools would love it if people simply got paid that much, you know. Well, you're really well in school, therefore you should be a master of the universe, you know. You have to understand that nothing that school does has anything to do with anything, you know. Because its basic thing is the manufacture of commonality. See, Lisa coming. She's going to be ahead of me. We have to wave to her from a great distance. Now, this is important. We're going to think how important this is to all of us. That we meet up on the road. Come in. Okay, I've had my waiting opportunity. It wasn't very good because I seem to be a little behind, but I seem to be a little bit of a school has no mechanism on any level at all to really identify and develop talent. It just does, you know, well, that's why one of the big defaults for people to do when there really isn't anything else to do is teacher, is because that's one of that is the one profession for which they are acculturated to. You know, our society lionizes teachers to no end. I mean, it's almost sickening to a certain level. And, anyway, I'm not, you know, if people want to go into teaching, that's their business. I don't tell them to. And so some people have a talent and a gift for it. And frankly, I don't think public school teaching has anything to do with the talent of being able to transmit information from one person to another. You know, I'm sorry. Somebody who's a good public school teacher typically isn't even teaching. It has more to do with the projection of soft power, you know. It has more to do with getting people to do what you want them to do. Because that's what public schooling really ends up being. It's not really an educational thing. It's more of a crowd control thing, you know. As it's become more studied and more expertized, you know, be made more professional, I think it's lost its way. Utterly. That teacher training has so much more to do with how to control people, how to get people to mind, how to get people to stay in line, than it has to do with anything else. Not saying that these aren't valuable to a command and control society. Most societies are that way, huh? You know, I'm not saying that this stuff is I think it's evil. But the larger society sees it as absolutely necessary, you know, for a functioning society. So we don't need intelligent people. We don't need critical thinkers in such a society, you know. We need people who are workers and don't mind being workers with you. You know, the more mechanical people can be, the more like an automaton they can be, the better for that kind of a society, the kind of society that we've built. The talent really ends up being almost, you know, too clear. Talent's not important unless it kind of becomes just that, you know? Not familiar with that nature? Not very much. You don't know why would I do it? Because you have a talent for it. Oh, who cares? Well, you can tell yourself what you're going to do as a hobby. And you go, but you know what? Hobbies get chewed up by just reality. It's mine. So, anyway. Craft your talent and know that society has no interest in helping you find your talent in particular. does not even, you know, doesn't even care about individual things. It's all about, are you following the progression, you know? Are you on track? It's basically what it's about. And that the identification and development of your talent is left to you. And, you know, I'm sorry that the way we conduct ourselves in life, however, is, doesn't care about that. And the biggest problem is how much time gets chewed up in just being able to jump through the establishment. You know, and it doesn't lead to anything, you know. If you're going to spend this much time on something, it's probably something that's a little more worthwhile. I just don't see it. So, okay. I'm home. I'm here. You guys take a look and see what's going on with the radio.